This is Michael Gineau with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank America's Web Radio for allowing us to bring to the grassroots of the United States of America, the patriot conservatives, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and their struggle and fight for sovereignty and security. Listen, if I'm a little out of breath, you'll understand why, because right now I am on patrol in an area outside of Jerusalem with a good friend of mine, Ben Goldstein. Ben, what area are we in?
We are in Gush Etzion, and we are around the community of El Azar, which is situated approximately 15 minutes from Jerusalem.
So, I'm in pretty good shape, but we're walking down this road outside of the barrier fence that protects what the left calls a settlement. I just like to call it a nice neighborhood, a new neighborhood that actually raises the property values. There's some beautiful homes here, Ben.
Absolutely. That's why I mentioned the word community and not settlement.
Good.
We're not here to settle. This is our land.
Absolutely. I agree with you, brother. Listen, it's too bad that we don't have video for this, because on my left-hand side of this dirt road that's outside the perimeter fence that protects the neighborhood is grove after grove of olive trees.
Yes, olive, grape, for the most part. And as you can see to your left, there's a hill above us to our left that's loaded with Israeli flags. It's the high point of the area. It's more than the tall part of the area. And below it, you'll see a lot of trees planted. I have to give a visual since we don't have video. And these trees being planted have been planted by local Arab farmers. And the local Arab farmers, a lot of times, would bring letters that they say were supposedly from their grandfather that lays claim and ownership to this land. The proof is in the letter. Unfortunately, finding that letter to be truthful is very difficult, but the local municipalities very often give them the autonomy to plant here. Now, when I say plant here, when you plant a tree in Israel, you're not allowed to cut it down. It's against the law. So when they plant here, they know they are laying claim to the land.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting you say that. Side note, a buddy of mine, Daniel Charter, who runs Charter by Israel, he took me up to the Golan Heights. But anyway, he said Israel's the only country in the world that ended up on its birthday with more trees than it started out with.
Absolutely, brother.
And it's very beautiful. And I'll tell you, I may not be Jewish, brother, but there's something about seeing all those Israeli flags hanging up there, flying in the wind.
It's actually, when you go up there, it's breathtaking. I'm aware that you've been up there on the other side at one point.
Yeah.
And to describe to people how something as almost arbitrary as tree planting can be considered an actual war is hard for a lot of people to understand. But I guess the way to put it is, imagine you're on your property in anywhere USA, and you have your property line, and this property line goes back, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000 years to your forefathers and foremothers, and all of a sudden, there's other people that have no prior past on this land. They call themselves, oh, I don't know, let's say your name is Smith, they call themselves the New Smiths, and they decide to create their own claim on this land, and they move their property fence right onto your land. Obviously, that would lead to a source of contention, and that's where we stand today, yeah. A large source of contention. But it's called the Land of Israel. We're walking in Judea, which is very interesting. People say it's over the green line. I have yet to see an actual green line on the ground, or they call it the West Bank. And fortunately, I do not live in Jordan. Jordan itself is a modern invention, whereas the Land of Israel, which is mentioned in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times, we've been here since the beginning, and we will be here till the rest of time.
Till the Messiah comes.
That's right.
You know, let me kind of backtrack just a little bit, just to create a clear picture for the listeners. So outside, and I'm looking here again to the right, we have all of these neighborhoods where all of these beautiful houses are. The kids go to school. You've got stores here, dry cleaners, I'm sure.
You have everything in order to live.
And so all of this is basically surrounded by a wall and barbed wire to keep the Muslims out, because you showed me some places where they actually break in. They cut the wire, break in, steal cars.
Absolutely. Actually, more recently, over the past 6 months, a lady woke up to two Arabs in her house in the middle of the night by her bed. And
wow.
Talk about frightening. So she's actually a very strong Jewish woman, and she grabbed a knife and chased them out. And she said, I hope they do come back.
Wow.
The people here, they're very proud.
Right.
Everybody in my community, every man has been a part of the Israel Defense Forces, typically in a combat or an elite combat unit. And as you can see to your right, there's children playing outside. It's almost sundown. Kids will play outside till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no fear.
Wow.
We're not afraid to be here because this is ours.
Right. And yet we have succumbed to crime. In the U.S., we've succumbed to the perverts, to the child molesters, to the drugs. You know who Buford Pusser was?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Walking Tall. You remember the movie Walking Tall?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it ought to be.
That's
you know?
The way it should be. Unfortunately, as much as I love and respect America, as much as it's given my family throughout the past 130 years since we came from Europe to America, the turn of events in America, it's chilling to watch. It's chilling to see roving gangs in the streets, harassing people, stealing, mugging, raping. It's chilling to see the lack of morality and the lack of family unity and cohesion, the lack of religion, the lack of anything that's concrete. So as much as I do love that country, I pray for the country, and I hope one day they can emulate Israeli society and children can walk free again without fear.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother. I've been accused of a lot of things, but I am a patriot. The problem is that we've allowed our pride to blind us to what the reality is. Well, you're not American enough. Well, when we have some real problems, we're not here to talk about that, but
right.
You and I both understand we feel a burden for the direction the country's going in, but either way, this is where the front lines is, basically.
Now, as you can see to your left, we see a shack here. Now, it's a simple white tin shack, approximately 15 feet wide, 15 feet in length, maybe 15 feet high. And I actually interviewed the guy who built it. His name was Mohammed, very common name.
Built it illegally.
Built it illegally, an Arab Muslim that's farming the area here.
Actually, I've been down this road.
You have been here.
I remember this shack.
There you go.
You got a building up here I exposed, got on video.
That's right.
Some of the Muslims that the EU was here,
mm-hmm.
and I got friendly with them outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is it, but anyway. So I went in and got all the faces of the EU that was there, the advisors.
Interesting.
On video.
Interesting.
And the guys were even telling me they're building me a house here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the white guy tourist.
That's
you know?
Right, that's right. And that's what we need, is somebody like you that can expose the truth in every facet, at every turn, because at the end of the day, God bless you, man, you're an undercover agent.
I love it.
You need a cape that you can turn in from Clark Kent to Superman, but you're fighting the good fight for
it. Except with a big Jewish star on the front.
Super Jew.
No, exactly. So, because Nadia Batar had, she's like, Michael, I can't believe this. The EU's never here. Like, I don't ever see them here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to take those guys' confession about building illegally on Jewish land.
Absolutely.
And they were able to use it to get the police to monitor the area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there's no lack of illegal building here. Now, one thing that's important about this white shack we just passed is that what they'll do is, their plan of operation is very simple. They'll put a very innocent-looking structure on the property, and if it doesn't come down, or it's not taken down, or it's not demolished, then they'll take that as a sign of weakness and a sign of acceptance.
Absolutely. That's very important that you get across.
It's very important that there's another place called Shdema, which you probably went to with Nadia. It's not too far from here. It used to be an army base, the Israeli army base. And the entire land there, half of it's taken over by a Ferris wheel, a Palestinian Arab Muslim Ferris wheel. Now, why was it put there? Because it looks like an innocent structure. And once they see that that can stand, whether it's that, a medical clinic, some type of school, then they have the green light in their own minds and in their own spirit to continue building on that land. And before you know it, 50 years from now, they claim they have always been building on that land.
Yeah.
They've always had that land, and the proof is in the pudding.
Wow.
That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're fighting this.
Wow. Listen, so how long have you lived in this area?
I've lived here, this specific area, for a little under 2 years. I've lived in Israel prior to now for 10 years.
Let's talk about why you came to Israel.
Sure. When I was 13 years old,
I had my bar mitzvah at the Western Wall, the Kotel in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
Now, I remember coming from America, I had this distinct recollection in my mind that I would have to jump out of the airplane and do a somersault because there'd be bullets flying over the air. And that's the power of the liberal left-wing media.
Yeah.
They can paint that picture in a child's head, and that's what Israel becomes.
Yeah.
Instead of a bastion of democracy and light and freedom in the world, it becomes barbed wire, cages, apartheid, and lies.
Yeah.
So when I was at my bar mitzvah, I saw two Israeli soldiers for the first time, and I swore to myself that at the age of 18, I would return, I would join the Israeli army in the combat unit, and I would stay. And
nice.
That's what I did.
Nice.
Always been drawn here, always will remain here.
Wow. So were you a lone soldier?
I was.
Brother, thank you for your service to the country.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
That's awesome.
It's my honor to be a part of the first Jewish army since King David.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow, what a hike.
Now, the reason why we're breathing so heavy, not because we're completely out of shape, it's because we're at 3,000 feet right now.
Wow.
We're not at desert level. We're at the second highest point in Israel besides the Hermon Mountain. So the air is thinner, but boy, is it beautiful out here.
It is gorgeous.
Sun is setting. It's maybe 70 degrees. Nice cool breeze.
Yeah.
And there's nothing but beautiful rolling hills around us.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. You know, so what did your parents think? I want to finish up your story here.
Sure.
I think it's interesting.
My parents have always been supportive of Israel. My parents are always very supportive of defending the Jewish people. Very strong. My grandparents are very supportive. Both sets of grandparents, 30 plus years ago, left the comfort of their homes in Tennessee and came straight to Israel.
Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, nice.
Land
area.
Of Elvis. That's right.
That's awesome.
So they came here and they really paved the path. When I asked my grandparents why they came here, they weren't Orthodox Jews, they weren't religious. They told me they couldn't explain it. A magnet drew them here.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people, that might sound a little hokey, but when you're here, brother, when you, like
yeah.
you're here right now,
yeah.
you feel it every day that you're here.
Every day.
Life passes right through your body, not over you or around you. So it took me some time as a kid to understand that, but eventually after my bar mitzvah, I came every summer. I would just walk the streets of Jerusalem, meet people, started to learn the language, and that's what really solidified it for me. But it all goes back really to my roots in Memphis, where I grew up knowing that somebody has to do the work to protect the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to allow somebody else to do the work for you. If we don't step up ourselves to do the work, then we're not really doing our job.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's what led me here.
Man, I respect you because I know what you're feeling because
yes.
I when I got my that new pad I showed you,
uh-huh.
I took a picture. I had a guy take a picture of me in the store
mm-hmm.
holding it in the box.
I saw that. Uh-huh.
And people were saying, wow, you look younger. Like, you look happy.
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, every day in this country is like honey on the end of my tongue.
That's a great way to describe it.
When I'm by myself, look, I go through difficulties. You know, I go through struggles internally. But I'll tell you, man,
mm-hmm.
when I step outside myself,
mm-hmm.
outside my door,
mm-hmm.
and right onto the street, totally changes.
Everything changes.
Totally changes. I get on the bus, man, and I see their faces, and I say, God, this is why I'm here.
This is it.
If I could hug these people, if I could do a group hug,
mm-hmm.
minus the gay pride parade that just came through a few weeks ago.
Right?
Dude, I would. I would.
I hear it. And look, to really put things in perspective as well, people fail to remember that when we had our temple here thousands of years ago, all nations of the world came to pay homage to God.
Wow.
Everybody came.
Yeah.
Everybody brought sacrifices. It was open to the world for a reason. And now also, it's becoming that way again. It's open to the world. It's open to all religions and faiths, all races and creeds. There's freedom here. There's freedom to practice and freedom to be who you are.
Right.
And to step outside of yourself, as you mentioned, and for my case, to step outside of your own ego, your daily life, your
right.
business, everything, and just to realize where you're standing. It's important to tell the people who are listening. Right now, we are literally walking on what's called Derech Ha'avot, which is the path of the patriarchs.
Wow.
What that means, quite simply, is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in their time, walked from Beersheba, Beersheba, to Jerusalem on this exact path. Now, I don't mean a path a mile from here.
Right.
I mean within 15, 20 yards of where we're standing, this was the path.
Wow.
So it's an incredible feeling to know that you're walking in the steps of your ancestors, and the future that it leads you to is just breathtaking.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I tell people all the time, especially down in Tel Aviv, you know, I'm critiquing, not criticizing. It's a bit of a different mindset. And unfortunately, I meet people that say, I don't believe in God. Or, you know, to say we're the chosen ones is a little prideful and arrogant, isn't it? And I'm like, no. You know, I haven't met an Israeli yet. And I narrow that down to Jew because there's a lot of non-Jews that are citizens,
right?
As I've emphasized in prior shows, that have just as many freedoms and rights,
absolutely,
as the Jewish people. But
and I served with them in the military with pride.
Yeah,
Christians, Cherkasian, Druze, Bedouins,
and I mean, this is the variety that knows they have freedom even more so than any country around you.
Correct.
It's amazing.
Correct.
And so you know, I tell them, I say, look. You don't have to wear a kippah, and you don't have to be Haredi, which is the black and white, but you better acknowledge God and thank Him that after 2,000 years,
correct,
you now have an established homeland. You think this happened by accident?
Right.
That's impossible to conceive that I would just stumble in my verbiage and say it happened by accident.
It's that same thought that a human embryo becomes a human being in the womb as by accident. It's lunacy.
Yeah.
Look what's growing here.
Yeah, it's
this
amazing.
This is prophecy.
Dude,
religious or not, this is prophecy.
Right. I've been all over this country, and it is amazing in 65 years what the Jewish people have done here.
It's amazing what God has done here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We came as a ragtag group of people, Holocaust survivors, people from North Africa. We had one gun per 12, 15 people in the military.
Wow.
We literally had nothing, nothing. And now look at us. I look up every night here. There's F-16I fighter jets flying over my head. And to think 70 years ago we were in ovens in Europe. And look what we've accomplished in 70 years. Imagine 70 years from now.
Wow. That's inspiring, man. That's inspiring.
Now, as we're walking here to the right, we'll cross to the right.
Okay.
There's an ancient ritual bath. This is a 2,000-year-old ritual bath from the time of the Second Temple period.
Uh-oh. Dog's getting a little...
No. That's what happens when you walk with a high-energy security dog. Here.
Well, at least you know they're doing their job.
Let's walk up this hill here, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now is we're passing by the only type of ancient ritual bath of its kind in the world that has a double entry, two stairwells, one leading up, one leading down. And you mentioned to me you saw this before with Nadia.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if she took you up to this hill. Now, the reason why this bath is here, and this is very interesting for people to hear, is when the patriarchs, when the Jewish people would walk on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem during the festivals, the first time they would see Jerusalem, they were supposed to immerse themselves in a ritual bath to purify themselves.
Right.
So as we walk up this hill of rocks, and imagine what these rocks have seen.
Well, this is a steep hill. It's like layer after layer of...
This is a terraced hill. Not a terrorist hill. A terraced hill. And as you can walk up here, you can see the height that we're at. Right around 3,000 feet.
Wow.
And on a very, even half clear day, this is the first time you can see the buildings way over in the distance, the shadow of them.
Yeah.
That's downtown Jerusalem.
Wow.
So they would walk this area, they would see Jerusalem for the first time, and they would immediately immerse themselves in the bath. Then they continue on their journey to the temple.
To the holy city.
That's it. The city of God.
Wow.
Now we'll walk back down.
This view is just...
It's stunning. Sun is setting to the west. You can see, as we're about to get there, we're going to see beautiful views. The other Israeli communities across from us. There are Muslim communities between us and the other communities.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, people from that community come and infiltrate the local communities, either to steal or to kill. There's been families killed out here in the past several years. A boy was axed to death in Bat Ayin, which is maybe a 3-minute drive from here.
Yeah, wow.
So that's the reality we face.
There was a guy a couple months ago that was shot. That he had his gun taken away from him and shot. Yeah, some of the leftist Jews were, unfortunately, posting on Facebook saying how then we nobody needs to have guns because that's the reason why that man died, because simply because he had a gun.
Right. Well, that's
it's unfortunate.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
That's taking logic and throwing it away.
But yeah, you have this. That's why, you know, I had I posted on Facebook that I was going on patrol with you, and so this woman came on and said, "Michael, we're praying for you. Be safe." And this one guy came on and she said, "It's safer than Detroit." And now I did add to that. I said, "If it was safe, then they wouldn't need to patrol."
Right. Well,
but he, you know, he mentioned, look, there's they have their own problems. We know what they are. But this is now, how many patrols actually, like, you're out here now?
I come out here personally every night at random times just to get a feel for what's going on, to talk to the local air population, to get names, to ask them if they've seen things.
Yeah.
And not that you can believe most of what they tell you, but the point is,
You
make a presence.
Right.
Especially with the dog, with the gun. You know, you look like you're somebody that is watching over your area. Now, other patrols out here are fairly frequently, but you're talking about an army that's so stretched out right now.
Right.
Especially out here with daily rock and firebomb attacks, daily shooting attacks, that when I, for instance, two Friday nights ago, found what could have been a possible roadside bomb on this exact road we're walking on.
Wow.
It took the Army 20 minutes to get here, and their base is maybe 4 minutes away.
Wow.
They just can't get here quickly enough.
Yeah.
So we need people to come out here. We need people to walk the area and to patrol, to show a presence.
Yeah.
But as you notice, we're the only ones out here right now.
No, yeah. It's a long, dusty road.
It is a long, dusty road.
So, okay, this is what's amazing, because yourself and other people that I've talked to, not just talked to, but also interviewed, and met, like, Nadia Matar. Why would you move out here, knowing there's such controversy? What brought you out here in an area that you have to patrol, when there's other areas of Israel, like Tel Aviv?
Sure, it's a great question. Now, to answer that question as succinctly as possible, in Tel Aviv you can't go to the bus station anymore for fear of illegal African migrants beating you and raping you and killing you.
No, you're right. I agree.
So there's always going to be a danger no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah.
I simply chose this community because the community itself has such beauty, such cohesiveness. There's only 450 families. Again, children can run free day and night without even worrying.
It's amazing to see.
Now, me personally, I am a redneck Jew. I come from Tennessee. I shotgun on the truck, dog in the back. I believe that I'm destined, for whatever reason that is, to be on the front lines.
Right.
Whether it's, no matter what the reason may be, this is what I've been doing since I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And growing up, there was a lot of Jew hatred where I'm from. Every Friday night, walking to the synagogue, we'd have bottles thrown at us. We'd have words.
Wow.
Like, "Hitler never finished his job," shouted at us.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 36.
And now I'm 42. I can't fathom that.
I know. And a real funny side story, I was just in New York. I run training sessions in America, combat training, and I was in New York with a buddy in Queens, very Jewish area. As I'm walking down the street, I hear this coming to my left, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," which means God is great in Arabic. So I turn to my left. I had just landed from Israel, and there's a car full of Middle Eastern-looking guys wearing the kafiyas, the Arab headdress, shouting at me, "Allahu Akbar," in the middle of Queens.
Wow.
Now, I was told this has never happened before. I get there, it's like a magnet.
Wow.
So, look, anywhere you go in the world, there's going to be that vilification of Israel.
Right.
And I can just turn to them and smile and say, "Guys, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, but there's one difference between us. I live in Judea."
Right.
"I live in Israel."
Right.
"God's eternal land."
Right.
So what drew me out here was all of that. One big ball of love for the land, love for the people, protection of the land, protection of the people, and the beauty of the community. Whether it's here, whether it's in Hebron, whether it's in the Golan, it doesn't matter. It's all Israel.
Right. Absolutely.
I can walk, I can drive, I can go anywhere I want in this land, and nobody can tell me differently.
Wow. That's awesome.
Look at the ibex of the deer up there. At around 12 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Right,
I see that.
You have families all over, or packs, I'm not sure what they're called.
What are they called?
It's either, I think that's a...
There's a lot of jackals, I know.
Well, that's a type of mountain deer or mountain...
Wow.
Ibex. I don't know what the name of it is in English.
Wow.
but it's a really...
This, I wish that we could get, that I could show video. It is amazing how this just curves out.
It's absolutely stunning, and it leads straight to the sea, straight to the Mediterranean.
Wow.
To the left of us, to the west of us, all the way out. Again, it's not as clear today as I'd like it to be, but you could see all the way out to Ashdod, Tel Aviv, and the beach.
Wow.
It's really magnificent.
Wow. You know, I spent 3 days up on the Syrian-Lebanon border, and I told my buddy, I said, now, Daniel, don't get annoyed with me, because all I'm going to be able to say for 3 days is wow. And that's all I said for 3 days.
It's breathtaking.
I can't even describe. You know, I'll tell you what. Mm. Moses, mm-hmm. Abraham mm-hmm. knew what he was doing when he was stepping his feet.
Every step he took, God told him that would be his. And for his descendants, he knew exactly what was going on here.
And you know, let me add to that. It's amazing because Golda Meir made a statement one time. She said, if I could go back and ask Moses one question, mm-hmm. it would be, why did you give us land without oil?
There you go.
And now you're finding out Hashem, by design, mm-hmm. gave you the oil and gas, the information when you needed to know it mm-hmm. at the right time. Because this land is built on ingenuity and intelligence.
You took the words out of my mouth.
It is built, so not petrodollars.
Right.
That the other countries send to terrorism and groups in the U.S.
Right.
But this land is built on ingenuity, man.
You got it, brother. And it's just to expound on that, I can't really add to what you said, but similar to what I tell people is that the other nations received all the oil, all the physical attributes.
Right.
We received none of that. When we didn't realize we received none of that. Now we see we do. Now we see we have even a greater threshold possibly than Saudi Arabia does.
Exactly.
But we had to use our brains.
That's beautiful.
Whereas they never used their brains in their life. All they used was their petrodollars.
And let me... I'm going to clarify what
Please.
You're saying. Because Saudi Arabia, if I understand correctly, their people don't work. They ship in workers from other countries.
They do. They ship in poor workers. Migrants. Now, and put in perspective, Saudi Arabia is a modern invention. There was no kingdom of Saudi.
Right.
Saud. It never existed up until 100+ years ago.
Yeah.
They were desert dwellers. They were nomads. Whereas we return to our ancestral land, and here we are working, draining swamps. And when I say we, I take that with a grain of salt.
No,
people who
absolutely.
Came before me,
yeah.
who I stand up for on the bus and respect wholeheartedly, they took something that was a swampland, filled with enemies, filled with thorns and rocks, and they made it into a thriving country where we're number two on the NASDAQ for the amount of public companies in the world, biotech, technology, anybody that uses voicemail on their cell phones, instant messaging, texting, it's all Israeli inventions.
Thank you for the great cherry tomato and the seedless
exactly.
watermelon.
Exactly.
And the Pentium processor and the voicemail. And
it's truly mind-blowing.
It is.
And
it is.
You know, we sound like two children that just walked into a candy shop, and the truth is we both have seen what happens when rockets fall. I heard the rockets falling here in my area during this previous engagement
in November.
From Gaza.
Yeah.
You can hear the explosions. So the realities we understand. At the same time, on the flip side of that coin, we also understand the beautiful realities.
Right, right.
And just to be here and soak it all in, man, is I invite everybody to do it with us.
You know what? You know what I tell some of the folks that are so... Listen, I had a guy call me
mm-hmm.
that he does volunteer work for the Lone Soldiers.
Right.
And we've become pretty good friends. And he told me, he called me up one day, 2 weeks ago. And he said, Michael, he said, and I'm saying this because if there's only one thing I do,
mm-hmm.
that's all I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, thank you for making me proud to be a Jew again.
That's incredible.
For making me proud to be a Zionist. We've been so beat down by the media.
Correct.
And he said, I'm glad that you're here and we've just become friends.
Amen,
brother. I'm saying that because... I tell some of these folks, they're like, I'm like, God will defend his people. He will protect you.
Absolutely.
And they're like, we hope. And I said, no.
There is no hope.
No. No, he said it. He's not a man that he would lie. God is not one that he would lie.
Go even deeper. It's a contract.
Right.
We signed a contract with God.
Absolutely.
This is a legally binding contract between us and God. And
absolutely.
As it says, I think Genesis, maybe 12:3. Those who bless them, I will bless. Those who
right.
curse them, I will curse.
Right.
And I tell you.
And now, hey, just all of us, Jew or Gentile, we need a spanking once in a while. God gives us that spanking.
He's our Father.
And
Now, hold on. In America, if you spank your children, you get accused of child abuse. Now, your kid can run through wild and destroy whatever they want, but you get accused of child abuse.
Exactly.
But we all know people that were raised correctly.
Right.
They know,
you and I were.
Exactly. They know that there's love, there's tough love.
Right.
And you only respect a parent or an authority when you have boundaries.
Right.
Freedom does not mean the ability to go do whatever you want.
Right.
That's called chaos.
Right.
Freedom has to have boundaries, not restrictions as to how you have to live your life because they tell you to live your life that way, but you have to have a code. You have to live your life in a proper manner.
Right.
And that's what we try and strive for.
And I'm going to add to that,
sure.
Compliment what you're saying. There's a lot of people, and this is veering off a little bit, but it's okay.
Okay.
This is, you hear everybody say, well, you have to respect the way I feel or my views. No, respect is earned.
Correct.
And if it's unprincipled and immoral,
I don't have to
respect it.
And you know the key word there is you have to. No, I don't have to.
Right, absolutely.
You have to prove it to me.
Right, absolutely.
Now, to our left, we're seeing a sunset over the Mediterranean.
Wow.
To our left is a...
Dude, I have never... It's been a while since I've seen a view this amazing.
It's incredible.
Besides when I was up in the north, but this is...
And the weather itself, we're in the middle of, end of June.
Yeah.
And it must be 65, 70 degrees with a cool breeze. You just can't beat it.
Yeah.
It's like a resort.
Wow.
Need some cold drinks and a little tiki umbrella and we're good to go.
Exactly. Wow. Now, does any of your family live here?
Yes. I actually brought my mother with us.
Nice.
She lives across the street in the community called Efrat.
Good.
And it's changed her life. She came from New York City. She was working for a real big firm there, private equity firm, top in the world. And, you know, walking past Fifth Avenue every day, all the stores, all the cravings. And she wakes up every day with the biggest smile on her face here.
Wow.
She loves every minute of it. She wished she did it earlier.
Wow.
Because when you trade the physical.
Right.
When you trade that for the spiritual.
Right.
There's nothing better.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I have a sister that lives here. She's been living here since 93. She lives in Jerusalem. I have a brother who is in the IDF Special Forces. He's becoming a commander now in the Special Forces.
Wow.
Graduated number one in his class. Very proud of him.
That's that American, that part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You mind if I relate?
That's
just for
the discipline.
Second?
That's the.
If it had not been for Hashem giving Torah to the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
we would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights.
Correct.
And that same, because those principles are in the Constitution and Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
this, you know, we talk about American greatness. This is the fulfillment. Your brother is fulfilling not just American greatness, but the principles of Torah by living up to all he's able to be.
Correct. Like the U.S. Army, you know, be all you can be.
Right.
It's true.
Right.
And it's important to him. Now, people ask me, you know, why did you come here? Why don't you go to the American military? And I have to explain to them, I have the utmost respect for every man and woman that serves in the U.S. military. Everyone. I train with them in America. I used to train with them here in the 1990s when the Marines would come to Israel to train in the desert with us. But again, as a Jew, there's something about being a part of that first army since King David that you just can't explain. It's
right.
Internal. So as much as we love America, and I go back and forth all the time, I'm a dual citizen, this now is my home.
Nice.
Now, if you look to your left here, you see one hilltop. An Arab family has that entire mountain to themselves.
Are you serious?
I'm more than serious. Now, you try to get a Jewish family that has an entire mountain to themselves, it would never happen.
That's unbelievable.
Now, we're still dealing with a liberal left wing here.
Right.
And
Islam and the liberal left have always walked hand in hand.
They're brothers and sisters.
That swim in a cesspool filled.
Correct. And they will continue to do so.
Wow.
Now, on very constant occasion, you'll see walking, and we'll get to that road soon, European anarchists. They come over here. You can tell who they are, the way they dress, the way they talk. They come over here and cause major trouble.
Wow. Yeah, they're called Occupy Wall Street.
It's one and the same.
Exactly. Hey, listen, Ben, we're going to take a break. We're going to enjoy this the rest of this sunset.
Let's do it.
We're going to take a break for a few minutes. This is, Ben, thanks for, brother, this is awesome.
Absolutely.
I wish you guys were here. I wish you could just catch a glimpse of this. I want to say this is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. and we'll be right back.
You're listening to America's Web Radio, your voice in the matter.
This is Michael Gannett with the Middle East Research Center Limited and Insight to Israel, and we're back and still walking the dusty trail, making sure that folks are safe in the new neighborhoods. And I want to say thank you, first of all, to America's Web Radio for allowing us to bring the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America, the Patriot Conservatives, about the greatness of the Jewish state and Israel's fight for sovereignty and security. Ben, I want to say thank you, man. This has been, it's been a fabulous walk, man.
It has been, and I'm just blessed to be able to spend the time with you, because I know the hard work you're doing to spread the word on what we're doing here. So on the flip side to you, I want to thank you as well for being here with me, because not very many people take the time and the energy to actually do this with me. Usually, well, I'm alone with my dog and my thoughts and my Glock.
Exactly. Yeah, I was noticing that. So this is, look, I mean, this is the reality that you coming out here on patrol, this is a reality you have to live with.
Correct.
You've got a Glock. You told me you keep one round in the chamber and one clip in and two clips on the side.
That's correct. Two magazines on the side, a spare, and, of course, a weapon. A pistol is just a tool. The real weapon is the human being, the brain and the eyes and the ears.
Absolutely.
The awareness and the presence. I also have a rifle that I typically carry. Right now it's with the armory. They inspect it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I have my trusty Belgian Malinois with me. She's a police military style dog.
Nice.
She's in training. And again, I'm just blessed to be able to live here and be here and to spend the time with you as my brother. So I appreciate your time as well.
Oh, man. It's
look at that sun go.
Wow, that's...
I mean, when do you see that?
Wow.
That's just a sight that you can see every day and never get sick of.
No, definitely. Wow, that is amazing. That's
true.
Amazing. You know, what do we got coming up here? Bicycle.
Yeah.
So Ben, let me ask you.
Sure.
You, I was looking at your Facebook page. You are a man that knows how to handle a sidearm, and so you went in the military.
Mm-hmm.
What is your business besides making sure these folks are safe?
Well, around 11 years ago, I had an idea to take what I've learned after the military and bring it to the American public that still believes in the right to defend themselves against harm and evil. And I run a company called Israeli Combat Training.
And thanks for the patch, by the way.
My pleasure. Wear it with pride. My company deals specifically with the civilian and law enforcement market. Primarily, my specialty is twofold. One is, well, it's actually, I say awareness, and the other is aggression. Now, people are shocked when I tell them that I don't believe in self-defense. I don't believe in it. I only believe in self-offense.
Nice.
And that's a term that I coined, and I have a copyright on it. Just saying it. but in reality, I believe in self-offense, and I believe that's the greatest defense. So when I do train people, I train them in the Israeli method, in always attacking, always moving forward,
right,
always outflanking, always outsmarting, always outmaneuvering your enemy. Now, people ask me during these sessions, Ben, why do we always have to attack? You see, in America, we're taught to find cover first and then return fire and respond to the threat. And I tell them, because in Israel, we believe that if you don't eliminate that threat as quickly and as violently as possible...
Violently, and you're absolutely
violently
correct.
Violently as possible, a terrorist threat as violently as possible and as quickly as possible while minimizing civilian casualties, you're not doing your job. And there's a joke that they say in the counterterror community, and a lot of times is, if you're in a restaurant and you hear of a terror attack outside, if you don't knock over at least three tables and three people on the way out that door, you're not aggressive enough. So that's how we train. We start with extreme awareness, extreme aggression, and then we fill in the gaps with firearms training, because that's
right.
Just a tool.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, do you know Krav Maga?
I know Krav Maga. I'm not a Krav Maga instructor.
Yeah.
I teach up to a certain level.
That's an amazing fighting technique.
It is, and it's becoming so popular all over the world. I was just in Italy, and you'd see on doors, on shop windows, you'd see advertisements in Italian for Israeli Krav Maga.
Wow.
Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, New York, Texas. It's everywhere, and there is a good reason for it.
Right.
People respect and fighting ability of what we've created here, because we're constantly surrounded on all sides by enemies and on the west by our sea.
And from within.
Especially from within, which we see all around us right here on our walk. And it's also very important to say the reason why we're constantly moving forward and we're always attacking our enemy is actually quite simple. And you, living here in Israel, you know how small this place is.
Yeah.
People don't realize how tiny this place is. You could fit 32 of these in the state of Texas alone.
You mind if I, on a side note here, I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday. I had a meeting at the David Intercontinental with, do you know Jonathan Feldstein?
The name is very familiar.
He runs American Friends of McGee to Be the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan and I had a meeting up in the top part of the David Intercontinental in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I was looking at the view and it was amazing. And I said, you know, if someone that had no clue of what the borders of this country were and was dropped in this country, you would think this place was as big as the United States almost.
You would think so.
It's well, I don't want to be so, that's probably bloviating, but it you would not think with as much that has been developed here that it's as small as it is.
You'd never realize that you could walk from border to border in certain parts of this country in under 7-8 hours, even from left to right, 10 hours. I mean, it's maybe I'm also exaggerating, but in reality, a jet, an Air Force jet can travel border to border in under a couple of minutes, if even.
Hezbollah sent drones, didn't they?
Yes, they did. We destroyed them, but they
shut
did send
down.
Them.
But yeah. So tell me more about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back on track here.
So what I do is I run training sessions for civilians and law enforcement in America, and I'm also I have a facility here in Israel that's very close to Nazareth, and we train a lot of Christian groups that come through. Because, of course, a lot of people come through Nazareth, and they'd like to experience what it's like to witness and to be a part of a counter-terror operation from Israeli Special Forces troops.
Nice.
My partner is a major in the Special Forces. He ran the counter-terror school for the IDF, Ben-Gurion Security. The man has a resume that blows most away. And we really like to make people feel a part of the country, not only from a spiritual point of view, but also from a defensive point of view and an offensive point of view.
Right.
Give them a weapon. Show them what it's like to defend the land of Israel and to protect the people that are here. And they love it. It's an experience. It's a 2-3 hour experience that they'll never forget.
And you're going to let me have this experience?
You're going to participate in this experience with full video and audio?
I would love to. Live stream it. We'll
live stream with everybody. And you'll feel the aggression. You'll feel the power. You'll feel the understanding of why we're here and what we're doing here. It truly is a magnificent experience, both internally and externally.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something that that everybody should know how to handle themselves. And look, from whether it's the U.S. or Israel, the world's not getting to be a pretty place.
No, it's really not.
We're not making daisy chains, that's for sure.
No, well, at least not peaceful daisy chains.
Right. And yeah. So I think it's good, especially women.
Absolutely.
And you know, I just posted a video last night on the Palestinian Authority teaching kids how to break down, grammar school kids, how to break down an AK-47.
Sure.
Clean it, put it back together.
Sure. Let me step in there for a second, if you don't mind. I have nothing wrong with children learning how to properly and safely manipulate firearms.
Right.
Firearms are everywhere.
Absolutely.
But the goal of that camp, the training camp in Gaza, is to kidnap and murder Israelis.
Yeah, yeah.
To take over settlements and towns and communities, to conquer the land, and that's what I disagree with strongly.
Absolutely. And it does set a different... We talked about a little bit about this earlier, about the wickedness,
mm-hmm.
We talked about angels. Look, I believe God made angels. They are messengers.
Mm-hmm.
My point being is that there are evil spirits, and you can see it's almost if you're of right mind and heart,
mm-hmm.
you can plainly see the difference when you see a video like that.
Oh yeah.
Or you see some sporting video with a son and his, look, there goes a truck,
mm-hmm.
with a son and his dad out shooting firearms just for practice
absolutely.
Or hunting. Or,
absolutely.
There's such a different spirit about it.
But as you mentioned, you have to be of the right mind and understanding, because there's so many people nowadays, unfortunately, that are the opposite. They
yeah.
see a husband and a wife or with their children learning the proper usage of firearms, which is an American tradition that dates back hundreds
absolutely.
Of years. It's a nation of riflemen, and they treat it as if they're terrorists, and I just don't know how things have become like that.
Yeah.
And if you compare it, like you said, to the children in Gaza who are by the thousands running through these camps to learn how to kidnap and torture and kill civilians, it's mind-boggling.
For Allah.
For Allah. For Allah. Everything in the name of Allah and Muhammad. And unfortunately, that's where we have to step across and say, no, it's not going to happen. Not today, not ever, and we use that tagline because it's real. Never again.
Right. Never again.
Never again. Now, we're walking to our left is Route 60. Route 60 is a main road that traverses the entire area of Judea and Samaria.
Okay.
Otherwise, unflatteringly known as the West Bank or the territories or over the Green Line. And you can see, and this is important for people to really understand, I want you to stand here for a minute, if you would, Mike. And I want you to watch as cars pass and look at their license plate on the front. Now, that's a yellow one, which is Israeli, but what color is that?
That's white.
It's white and green. That's a Palestinian, quote-unquote, license plate. What color is that?
White.
Just keep looking, and you can count. What color is that?
White.
Now, how yellow. Is it that Jews and Arabs are traveling on the same road if we're being accused every day of apartheid, of murder, of
yeah.
genocide? These people live near me. They take taxis next to me. They shop at the same grocery store built by a Jewish man named Rami Levy. They buy the same fruits and vegetables that I do. So what I would like for you to see, maybe you've seen it already, there's a sign at the entrance to Bethlehem, and I'll show you on the way back. It's a big red sign, and you should take a picture for everybody to see it. It says that entry to this area to Israeli citizens is forbidden by Israeli law and dangerous to your lives. Now you tell me, brother, if that is not apartheid, if we can't go into their area, but they can freely travel into this area that we pay taxes on,
right.
you tell me where the true apartheid is.
Absolutely. And from my understanding, I don't know if it's this road, but sometimes the kids get up and throw rocks down.
Absolutely. You see where we're standing right now?
Yeah, it's open, wide open.
We're a good 20 feet above the ground. If you stand at a proper turn in the road, you can pick up a rock. Now, when I say rock, ladies and gents, I'm referring to a rock the size of your head.
Right.
And the average head weighs 18 pounds, so do these rocks.
Yeah.
You throw that at a vehicle. Look at the BMW Palestinian, Mercedes Palestinian.
Wow.
Kia SUV Palestinian.
So much for oppression.
So much for oppression. You throw that at a vehicle traveling at 50 miles an hour,
yeah.
it's death. Now, just up the road from here, on the way to Hebron, the Palmer and his son, they were killed by a rock thrown at them by an Arab car driving in the opposite direction. The guy leaned out the window, threw a boulder-sized rock out of his window at the
wow.
opposing vehicle. His car flipped over. His son, who was a baby, was killed. He was killed on impact. And you know what the local Arabs did? Instead of somebody with a heart, just anybody, man, to go and help him, they went and they looted his car. They stole his gun.
Actually, I know the guy that's a cousin that happened to. His name is Henry Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It took forever for the police to get there.
Absolutely.
They went and robbed the guy everything.
They took his gun. Thankfully, and I know it sounds crazy for me to say this, but thankfully they died on impact, because if they didn't, you don't know what the Arab mob would do to
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
As we saw, the two soldiers that made a wrong turn into Ramallah years ago, they were lynched, thrown out of a window by the Palestinian police. You don't know what they're going to do to these people. So you always have to be on guard out here.
You know what? I'm going to say it while we're standing here, because
no,
I'm just in one of those moods. I hope some of you D.C. Jews that are supposedly quote-unquote friends of mine, some of you are very good friends of mine. I got a few guys in mind. I'm just going to call it like I see it, Joel Griffith. I don't mind calling out names.
Sure.
It's my show.
Mm-hmm.
I can. But these guys sit and they drink their martinis in Washington, D.C. at their little Jewish happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're advocates for Israel, but they have never spent more than 2 or 3 years in this land to know this country.
Correct.
I have a hard time when I hear stuff like what you're telling me, brother,
mm-hmm.
and when I've seen what these people go through, when I know that you pay higher tuition rates
mm-hmm.
at colleges and the Muslims get a discount.
Correct.
When 60% of the water and electricity from Ascalon go to the Gaza.
And they don't pay for it.
And they don't have to pay for it.
That's
and
right.
you pay the higher prices.
That's right.
You know what, American Jews? please, I'm hard on this, brother. I don't care what your opinion is on it. You have an obligation to come here, bring your ingenuity, bring your family, bring your fight. Let your children serve with your brothers and sisters in the Israeli Defense Force honorably to defend the Jewish state.
That's right, brother.
I just have a problem with it, man. I hear these people tell me, well, you know, we need a, you know what a guy told me yesterday? We need American money. I said, no, you don't need American money.
You
do not need American money.
That money represents 1.6%, I believe, of Israel's GDP right now. 1.6%.
And you know what? When you have American money, you know what that does? Holding you to American policy, which is going downhill very quickly at a very rapid pace.
Now, I tell my Jewish friends in America to harp on that line, and you can call me paranoid, you can call me a fearmonger, but I see it as truth. You need to come here while you still can.
Right.
Those airports may not work one day. The way we're seeing that country going, unfortunately, if things don't pick up, you may not be able to get out of Europe. You may not be able to get out of America anymore. You've got to come to your land where your brothers and sisters are here living a good life. Israel ranked, I think, 11th on the happiness scale on a poll of all the nations of the world. People don't understand. Life here passes right through your body. It doesn't pass over you. You don't feel dead. 70% of Israelis are not on prescription medication. There's a reason why.
Wow. Because, I didn't know that.
Because they live their life.
You have the lowest unemployment rate. 6.2%.
Absolutely. 6.2%, absolutely. Come here and find a job. You have a better chance here than there.
You know what? I would, not saying I want to, but I would, if I had to, I'd clean houses once in a while. Dude, I'll do whatever. Not only am I blessed to be here, but I'm blessed to give what we're talking about back to the United States.
You being here as an emissary, you being here as an activist, you being here as a brother in arms, a brother who, and I say brother in arms for a reason. I may carry a Glock, big deal. Like I said, that's a tool. What you have in your hand right now has the ability to do more good for this country and this land and for global awareness as to what's going on here than anything I could ever do on this patrol. I do my part, you do your part,
right.
And together we have a brotherhood.
We all do our part.
Absolutely.
Man. That's fantastic stuff. Wow, hey, the lights are coming on at the houses and in the streets. It
is sunset in Judea.
Wow.
And just think how many sunsets our patriarch saw. Think how many sunsets the people who came back in 1948 saw while they were rebuilding the land of Israel. And look where we happened. We can walk freely now.
You know what I tell these folks that, like, that I'm going to revert back to some of these folks I meet in Tel Aviv. I'm like, they're like, you know, look, we just want to live. I get it. But you know what? You got it easy compared to the folks in the Haganah.
Oh, yeah.
You've got it easy compared to the folks who did the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah.
Absolutely.
Who came here.
And drained the swamps.
Oh, like you were saying, exactly. But they had a plow in one hand,
yes.
A rifle in the other, and Torah in their heart.
That's right.
That's beautiful, man.
And that allows us to be here today and walk freely and talk like this and be able to give our opinion freely. Because without their commitment, without their vision, without their belief, and without the global events that led us here, we wouldn't be able to walk here today. This would continue to be a swampland.
You're where Moses did not get to be.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Correct. And I talk to people, and I say that quite often, is we are blessed. You and I, right here.
Yeah.
We're blessed to be in a place that the holiest of the holy people couldn't ever even step foot in. And that's an incredible thought. It's an incredible thought. Why are we blessed to be here and they weren't? Well, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
This is the way it's supposed to be.
So let me ask you, so you do work in the States, too.
I do.
Let me go back to your...
I do. I do fly back and forth on occasion to the States. All of my training sessions are advertised through word of mouth. People that attend them, they typically seem to thoroughly enjoy them because it's nonstop aggressive action from the time we start to the time we finish 8 to 10 hours later.
Nice.
And that's how it continues.
Do you have a website?
I do. I do. You can get there two ways. You can either get there at IsraeliCombatTraining.com or www.alwaysattack.com.
Wow. That is great. That is great. Now, these are little Palestinian kids.
Yeah, yeah. They work the field, and they're afraid of the dog.
Because Muslims don't like dogs.
No, not at all.
Hello.
Hello. Keep Alec. Shalom.
You know, it's kids like that you just want to take and just love them.
Well, unfortunately, and everything starts with the schooling and the education. And children all over the world are innocent, all over the world, no matter their religion, no matter their color, no matter their beliefs, no matter their citizenship. But when they're indoctrinated in their school system with hatred and lies after lie after lie, it's sometimes you look at them and you say, is there really hope for them?
Yeah.
When their own people do this to them, that is the ultimate form of abuse.
Yeah.
Ultimate form of abuse. Now, I have personally stopped Arab children at checkpoints for good reason. We have to stop them on occasion if they're wearing backpacks because we are wary that the Arabs have sent children as suicide bombers, even unwillingly.
Because they hide behind them.
They hide behind, they use them as tools because they know that Israeli soldiers have a soft heart for children. And we have looked at their textbooks on occasion, and we have seen in their textbooks on occasion, I have friends of mine I'm in the military with who are fluent Arabic speakers. They're Druze. And what you see inside of their textbooks showing that Jews are the sons of monkeys and pigs and how there never was a land of Israel and it's a Zionist, it blows your mind to see the lies printed in there.
Yeah.
And look, man, if we're brought up that way, that's the way we're going to believe and that's the way we're going to perpetuate.
It's sad,
and it has to be stopped in the schools and the madrasas.
Well, and the problem is, you and I both know, not only does the United States send money, John Kerry left here and sent $400 billion dollars to Abbas because the Gaza Strip is having such a hard economic time when they're funded billions of dollars by the EU.
Where does that money go?
By the EU, by the UN.
They sure do have money for rockets, though.
Rockets. They do have rockets.
And to add on to that story, I read actually a really interesting story. It was two stories in the Washington Post or one newspaper in America online. And the first story said how hard economically it was in Gaza, how incredibly difficult. People don't have power. They don't have food. Literally, the next article, and the editor should be fired for this, wrote, they are smuggling tunnels underground between Egypt and Gaza. And what were they smuggling? Buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I saw that.
At $30 a bucket. So let me ask you a question. When there's hardships, are you buying KFC buckets or are you buying bread and butter?
Right, exactly.
So, spare me the lies. You've seen them once, you see them twice.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to get on a rant again for all you pansies out there in the United States. Listen, I don't hate folks, but I'm going to tell you what, brother. I hate Islam. I hate it. I despise it. It's a false religion. Mm-hmm. It's propagated all around the world, and these people, I've had some people oppose me in Washington now since I've been here. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to offend my Muslim friends, Joel Griffith, I went to college or law school with, and they would be offended. I said, you know what, brother, let me tell you this. How about they do one of two things? If they don't like what I'm saying, unfriend me from Facebook, okay? Because while we're friends, I'm going to... You don't like opposition on your face, unfriend me.
Right.
But I told him, I said, let them clean up the blood trail behind them instead of blaming everyone else.
That's correct.
Or they can change religions. How about that? May I suggest a peaceful religion like Judaism or Christianity? Now, let me also clarify, I get tired of the folks that go clear back to the Crusades, which was the Catholic Church, not the Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to dichotomize
in
history there.
It's important to understand the difference.
And I'm sorry, but we're not living 2,000 years ago.
Right, you live in the present.
And, I apologize. Brother, I tell you, what you folks have, and look, I'm sure there's peaceful Muslims. But just because they don't pull the trigger or detonate the bomb doesn't mean they don't want this land for themselves.
And wanting this land for themselves means one thing and one thing only, Jews in the sea.
Yep.
I was here in the 90s and the early 2000s, and I am not exaggerating when I say I picked Jewish skin melted out of trees, into trees from suicide bombings on buses, rib cages outside of the Cafe Hillel bombing where Dr. Applebaum and his beautiful daughter who was about to get married the next day were blown to smithereens by a piece of garbage Islamist that decided to blow himself up for the cause, for Allah. And I got news for all of them. Actually, George W. Bush said that you're either with us or against us.
Right.
And you're either good or you're evil. And there is no gray line here in the Middle East, especially not in Israel.
No.
It's right or left. There is no middle ground. And here, if the Islamists wish to change the reality, they need to stand up by the hundreds of thousands and millions.
Absolutely.
And change the reality. If not, they are as complicit as the next one that does press the trigger.
Absolutely. And, brother, you and I, the reality is it ain't going to happen.
No,
it is not going to happen.
It will never happen.
So it's all about accountability.
It's about accountability.
It's about accountability.
It's about self-respect. But hey, look what's going on around you.
Yeah.
North of us, not 60, 70 kilometers from the Israeli northern border, they're slaughtering over 100,000 of their own countrymen.
Yeah, well, I always say that Muslims kill Muslims for power, mm-hmm. but they'll take a coffee break to kill Jews any day.
Well, killing Jews, killing the little Satan, which is Israel, killing the great Satan, which is America.
Wow, thank you. You're the second guy to say that.